Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness. It's what the world seems to be looking for these days, this elusive thing we call peace. If we look out our windows, if we turn on the television, if you read the newspaper, if you listen to what's going on in the world today, there really isn't any peace. In fact, when we look inside of ourselves, most often than not, peace really evades us. It's not surprising to me that this happens, and it shouldn't be surprising to any of us that this happens, because Jesus very clearly said throughout the New Testament, listen, I'm going to give you peace, not as the world gives you, because the world's going to cause you trouble, but I am going to give you peace. It still amazes me, though, how often people look externally, look outward to find this thing we call peace. We look to our investments and our money. We look to our property and our homes. We look to our jobs and job security. We look to our own families to try to find peace. We look to addictions or bad habits, whatever it may be, fill in the blank, to find peace, but peace eludes us. It cannot be found. It's interesting to me that in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus uses the word peace be with you, the phrase peace be with you, quite a bit. In fact, several times. Now, the peace that Jesus is talking about, the word that he's using there in the Greek goes back to the Aramaic, which goes back to the Hebrew, and the Hebrew word for peace is, do you know it? Shalom. And shalom means this. It's one of those words, you know, this is the problem with the English language. If we were to really translate things the way they were meant to, it would take up a whole page, right? So we simply use the word peace, but that's really not what shalom means. Shalom means peace, harmony, wholeness. Wholeness in the sense of healthiness. You know, that kind of wholeness that we find in our body. Completeness, welfare, tranquility, and well-being. This is the kind of peace that we had in the beginning when God created the world. You remember when God created the world, and when he was done, you remember what God said? It's very good. Because God's world in the beginning was very good. And there was this perfect well-being and wholeness and completeness that was there. Adam and Eve, they knew peace. All creation knew peace. Lions and tigers and lambs and alligators and birds, they all got along because it was just the way the world was. There was a peace that passed all understanding that was there, and it was beautiful and harmonious. But of course, you know the story, right? We fell into sin. And what happened? God said, you're not going to have peace anymore. In fact, you're going to have to work, and you're going to have to work hard. There are going to be thorns and thistles in your lives. And those thorns and thistles are going to raise up, and they're going to cause you to sweat from your brow. And oh, women, you think childbirth is going to be peaceful? That isn't even going to be peaceful for you, not to mention raising a child, especially teenagers. My goodness, no offense, teenagers. Man, it's hard. But the peace was lost because of our sinfulness. So it's the first evening of the week, and the disciples are together. And they're together in a locked room, and Jesus appears to them. And the first thing that happens when Jesus appears to them is he says, peace be with you. Now, why were these disciples gathered in a locked room in the first place? Do we know? Do we understand that? They were gathered together in a locked room because they were afraid. They were afraid because Jesus' body was missing. Some of them had seen it. Some of them had seen him. Mary had seen him. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know if this was real. They were afraid he might be a ghost, you know. After all, they had mistaken Jesus as a ghost once before, if you recall when Jesus walked across the water. Some of them thought he was a ghost, and they didn't know what to think, right? They were afraid because the Jewish ruling guard and Pontius Pilate and the Roman guards, well, they didn't know if they were out to get the disciples, thinking they may have stolen the body for some elaborate ruse or conspiracy theory to keep Jesus alive. So they were locked in this room afraid, and Jesus appears in this room, and he appears in this room that was locked. There was no way to get in, and he says, peace be with you. But it makes sense. They were terrified. It makes sense because we already said they thought he was a ghost once before. It makes sense. But at the sound of this greeting, the disciples were happy. Because Jesus was sharing the word peace with them. Suddenly rejoicing filled them. But then Jesus boldly does something even more strange. He says to them, after he says, peace be with you, look at my hands and look at my sides. Focus on my wounds. Now, why would Jesus do this? That seems kind of odd. Why would he say to the disciples, look at these wounds? Because it was Jesus' way of once again reaffirming to his disciples, it's me, it's the Lord, the one you saw die on the cross. I'm alive, I am risen, I am up from the grave. See the nail marks in my hands and the wound on my side, which I did for you for forgiveness? It is me, your Lord, I am alive. And they began to rejoice, and Jesus does it again. He says a second time, peace be with you. The disciples knew the word that Jesus was using. They knew the word that Jesus was using was the peace from Shalom, the peace that passes understanding, the peace the world could not give. Outside those locked doors, the disciples knew there wasn't peace. They knew there was something to be afraid of. But in that room, as Jesus appeared to them with the nail marks in his hands and the wound in his side and the words, peace be with you, hearkening back to Shalom, the disciples were filled with an intense measure of peace, a peace higher than any peace this world could give. Peace had now entered, and great rejoicing filled the room. The disciples were overwhelmed that Jesus had appeared to them. And then there's Thomas. He wasn't with the other disciples that night. And so about a week later, Thomas is gathered with the disciples. You know the story, right? And what happens? They were still a little afraid, so the door was locked. And in through the locked door comes Jesus. And the first thing he says is, peace be with you. And then, without giving another chance, he said to Thomas, come here. Check these wounds out, just like he did to the other disciples. See the nail marks? Put your finger here. You see this gash in my side? Go ahead, put your hand inside it. Find it funny if you think about it. Go ahead, poke my wound. It's okay. I'm risen from the dead. And what happens? Thomas's life changes. He hears the peace be with you. He sees the visible wounds of Jesus and realizes before his eyes that Jesus is alive, and his life changes forever. His life is now complete. Peace, not the peace from the world, but the peace that Jesus gives enters his heart. A peace that can't be taken away, an overwhelming peace, a peace that leads him to love people and to go out and to boldly proclaim with the other disciples and the apostles that were to come that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, and indeed the world had been set free from sin, death, and the devil. You bet Thomas's life had changed, and it had changed for the better. When through eyes of faith, eyes that have gazed upon the wounds, and ears that hear the peace that come from the risen Lord, our lives change. Our souls rejoice. Our faith deepens. You see, the reality is this. When we look for peace outside of Jesus, you will never find it. You will not find it on CNN or Fox News. You will not find it in the Star Telegram. You will not find it in your marriage. You will not find it in your family. Peace is not found there. Now, peace can come to those places once peace is found in Jesus. You see, when Jesus Christ rose from the tomb, he ushered in the new creation. He restored creation once and for all. He restored the old broken creation and made us a new creation. Therefore, those who are now buried with Christ in baptism rise with him into newness of life and are made a new and bold creation in Christ. This is our doctrine. This is what Scripture teaches. This is what we believe. This is what we believe so wholeheartedly, that we know that because Jesus is risen from the dead, as he came forth from the tomb, sin, death, and the devil have been destroyed. And when Jesus came forth from the tomb, he left all of our sins, all of our grief, all of our worries, all of our fear, all of our doubt and guilt and shame. He left that inside the empty tomb and sealed it shut and promised that the Father would never look there to see it. He sealed it shut and left it stay there so that we might come forth in this new peace as a new creation, living living in God's kingdom with a different focus and a different life. Because what Jesus says now is no longer focus on peace externally, focus on peace internally. In my word, focus on my peace, the peace that comes from my wounded hands, my wounded side, my victorious cross, and my victorious tomb. Because now you have peace over sin, death, and the devil, and has been destroyed. And no matter what Satan throws into your path, no matter what Satan throws into your path, whether that be illness or the death of a loved one or worry or doubt or fear or yesterday finishing my taxes, or divorce or whatever you fill in the blank with, the peace of God transcends all understanding because his peace is perfect. It's a peace that is alive. It's a peace that dwells in us. It's a peace that holds us. It's a peace that carries us. It's a peace that fills us. And when we go to God in his word and in his sacrament, when we go to God in word and in sacrament, the Holy Spirit fills us with that peace, because that is the only place we can find peace in the midst of trouble, peace in the midst of chaos, peace in the midst of a world falling apart, peace that gives us rejoicing like the disciples, even though they had no idea yet what Jesus was doing, alive and risen from the dead. A peace that passes understanding. And oh, by the way, that peace is shared as you and I share it with each other. Why do you think we open every worship service sharing God's peace with another? Where are you going to find it? You're not going to find it at Walmart. You're not going to find it at Target. You're not going to find it at school, unless you go to a Christian school. You're probably not going to find it at work. But in this place, as we share the peace of God with each other, we truly are blessing each other with a peace that passes understanding. You know what Jesus says? If you enter into a house or you go up to another Christian and you say, God be with you, or God's peace be with you, and the peace returns to you, you know you have met a true brother and sister in Christ. And it's in that peace where we learn to bear one another's burdens and to share this overwhelming victory of Jesus Christ. Think about that. When life is falling apart, when we turn inward, when we look outward for peace that doesn't exist, life continues to fall apart. At least it has for me for many years. So many years I tried fixing my own problems by looking outward or inward to my own heart. Life just got worse. It wasn't until I looked outward to Jesus and outward to Christians that God had placed in my life who could help me and surround me and love me that I realized the fullness of God's grace. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, I'll say it again, Christianity only exists in community. And the place that ought to be the safest place to go in the midst of the hard troubles of life is this very room, this very building, to our brothers and sisters' homes, to celebrate the risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we hold each other's hands, cry with each other, and celebrate the peace that passes understanding, the peace of the wounds of Jesus, the peace of the empty tomb in our lives for our salvation and for our eternity. You see, this peace that God gives us harkens us back to the peace that passes understanding, a peace of shalom, a peace of harmony, wholeness, completeness, welfare, tranquility, well-being. Who thinks that sounds pretty good? I do. And the world is in desperate need of it. And you and I, we have it. Because it exists in here by virtue of God's word and baptism and sacrament. It recalls that God has restored his perfect creation, that now when God sees you and sees me, he sees us as perfect, redeemed, and loved, and forgiven children of God. A perfect relationship restored with him. No matter your fear, no matter your doubt, no matter your worry, no matter your burden, no matter your frustration, no matter whatever it is in your life today, you have been set free to live as children of God. The slavery and bondage to sin, death, and the devil, to worry and fear and shame and guilt has been left in the empty tomb, and Jesus has come out to say to you, peace be with you. Look at my hands. Look at my side. Peace be with you. Now rejoice. Rejoice as the world cannot understand that because I live, you will live forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.